Good morning, Your Honor. Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is Mark Hanna, and I'm a Deputy County Attorney in Douglas County, here today representing the state in this matter. Today, the state is asking this court to find that the juvenile court erred when it dismissed the state's motion to terminate the mother's parental rights in this case. The state is asking this court to reverse and remand this matter back to the juvenile court. In this case, the state filed a motion to terminate the parental rights against the mother. In the motion, the state alleged two different subsections pursuant to Nebraska Revised Statute 43-292. The subsections are subsection 7 and subsection 5. That statute clearly states that to terminate the parental rights of a mother or a father, the state has to show that one of the subsections is to be proved by clear and convincing evidence coupled with determination that it's in the best interest of the minor child for the parental rights to be terminated. In this case, the state found or alleged two different subsections, 5 and 7. Subsection 7 essentially is that if the child is out of home placement for 15 of the most recent 22 months coupled with best interest, then the mother's rights should be terminated. Subsection
the state,
5.
The state also has to prove parental fitness, correct? Parental unfitness.
Not in that subsection.
Not for that subsection, but to actually reach a termination determination.
No, Your Honor. I don't think so, Your Honor. I think that statute clearly states that only one of the subsections coupled with best interest allows the court to terminate the parental rights.
Isn't there a constitutional right that parental unfitness has to be found?
I believe that's a separate subsection, and I don't recall the exact subsection, but I don't believe so. I think it's a factor that we considered when we're discussing the best interest of the minor child, whether or not their parental rights should be terminated, but whether or not they're unfit isn't necessarily a burden that the state has to prove.
Suppose we disagree. Where does that leave us?
I guess the question is, disagree in what regards in parental fitness?
On the question, yes. Assume that, for purposes of my question, that our case law requires, under a subsection 7 termination, that there be a showing by clear and convincing evidence of parental unfitness. Where does that take us under the facts of this case?
Frankly, under the facts of this case, I think that will help the state more. In this case, we had a mother who essentially hadn't seen her children in the last 7 months of when the termination hearing was held. The children have not had unsupervised visits with the mother. What's interesting in this case is we should look at the visitation schedule. When visitations first began, the children had behavioral issues. They had issues going to the bathroom, aggressiveness.
Were those behavioral issues ever clearly tied to something having to do with the mother?
Yes.
Other than just spending time with her?
No, the issues directly result with the spending time with the mother, and it's clear in the record because visitations has been stopped. Every time visits with the mother has been stopped, the behavioral issues go away. When visits begin, we have the behavioral issues coming again. In this case, we had visits, then they stopped, visits again, and then they stopped. In the most recent visitation schedule, the court authorized telephonic therapeutic visits, which the mother did not engage in. Under subsection 7, as long as the court finds that in the most recent 15 or 22 months that the children have been out of home placement, the court then looks at the best interest of the minor child. In several cases, including an in re interest Giovanna G and in re interest Aaron D, the court need not go through the other subsections that the state has alleged. As long as one singular subsection has been proved, the court can then go straight into the best interest of the minor child. And in this case, at the time of the termination when that was filed, the children had been out of home for 19 of the most recent 22 months. At the date of the termination hearing on January 25th, 2019, the children have been out of home for 26 out of the most recent 22 months.
To return to the previous question, assuming that parental unfitness is part of the state's required showing under a subsection 7 termination, the evidence here is all, at best, circumstantial, isn't it?
I would disagree with Your Honor. In this case, the court did...
Of unfitness. Well, tell me, I listened very carefully to what you had just said, and the only thing that I heard that or on unfitness of the parent, was this visitations happen, bad things happen, visitations go away, the bad things go away. That's circumstantial. No one testified that there was a causal effect about that, right?
Well, I believe the family permanency specialist, as well as the therapist for the minor child, stated that there was a correlation, as well as the foster parent, who also testified, saying that behavioral issues are directly tied to the mother's visitations. But going with what the court's question is, the court, in this case, ordered several things. For example, safe, stable housing, legal income, go to therapy, drug test, med management. In this case, none of those court orders have been satisfied, which goes directly to the court's concern of parental unfitness.
But there was evidence that the progress is being made towards each of those goals up until the point of the filing of the motion to terminate, isn't there?
No, Your Honor. According to the record, the participation of the mother was decent in the beginning of the case, but then participation stopped in November of 2018.
But that was after the filing of the motion to terminate, wasn't it?
That was correct. Yes, Your Honor.
Is that relevant to our determination, then?
No, I don't believe so, because the matter still remains. Due to this outstanding time the children have been out of care, the mother did not get legal income. The mother did not provide safe, stable housing for the children. The mother did not complete her therapy and was actually unsuccessfully discharged. The mother did not complete her court-ordered drug testing, which she was also unsuccessfully discharged. We have on the record that the mother has diagnosed mental illnesses and needs medication. On the record, it was shown that the mother is not taking her medication. So I would believe, and I would state to the court, that parental unfitness is shown by the lack of progress in the court orders that the court ordered this mother to partake in. And I think when you couple those court orders, the best interest of the child, and I would point the court to the case of In Re Interest Sunshine A, where in that case, the best interest rested on the reversal of the children's behaviors. Here, when the children came into care, they had a lot of sexualized and inappropriate behaviors, including wetting the bed, inattentiveness, pulling their hair and skin, agitation, restless sleep, and using the restroom on themselves. But that behavior has been reversed since the children have been placed with their foster parents. And I think that is key here when we're talking about the best interest of the minor children. Because this...
Isn't the focus in these matters, yeah, I mean, it's good that the children are rehabilitating in foster care, but isn't the focus upon the rehabilitation of the parent to see if they should be reunited or not, as opposed to the rehabilitation of the child?
Yes, that is correct. Rehabilitation of the parent and the minor child are key here. And the court has done everything the court could do, and the state has done everything the state could do in terms of rehabilitating the parent. The state cannot force the parents to participate in any court-ordered services. The fact that on November 2018, lack of participation for the mother began. Your Honors, I see I have about a minute and 56 seconds left. I'd prefer to reserve that time for rebuttal, Your Honor.
You may.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Bradley, good morning to you.
Morning, Your Honors. My name is Joe Bradley. May it please the Court, I represent Kelly Abram, the appellee in this matter. I'll just briefly go through, I believe the Court here should uphold what the Juvenile Court found under sub 5. A juvenile court may terminate parental rights when a parent is unable to discharge parental responsibilities because of mental illness or mental deficiency, and there are reasonable grounds to believe that such condition will continue for a prolonged, indeterminate period. Now, in this case, the state failed to provide any expert testimony or any exhibits of any kind to show that Ms. Abram suffered a particular mental illness and that this mental illness was likely to persist. In fact, there was three witnesses that talked about the alleged mental illness here, but all three of them were inconsistent and talked about different mental illnesses.
Were there any psychological or psychiatric experts called?
None. There was no psychological experts. There was no exhibits from psychological experts as to what she suffered from. Specifically, the closest we got was Ms. Duluth, Ms. Abrams' therapist, who testified that Ms. Abrams was diagnosed with unspecified depressive disorder, PTSD unspecified, and autism spectrum disorder. Now, the problem with that is there was also testimony from Tabitha Foster, the prior caseworker, that testified that Ms. Abrams suffered from severe manic bipolar 1 disorder with psychotic behavior, Asperger's, PTSD, suicidal thoughts, and anxiety. And then finally, the current caseworker, Ms. Herkenbach, testified that Ms. Abrams had borderline intellectual functioning. So it's not clear what we're even talking about in terms of what the mental illness was here. Further, there was the psychiatrist who prescribed Ms. Abrams medication did not testify, so we're not even clear whether Ms. Abrams was still medicating, what she was medicating with, and most importantly, how long these mental illnesses or symptoms would continue to see whether or not she would ultimately rally and be able to take care of her children.
Do you agree that if the state meets either the subparagraph 5 or subparagraph 7 statutory allegation, that the court then moves to a parental unfitness and a best interest of child evaluation?
I do, Judge.
And you would agree that subparagraph 7 was met due to the time frame?
Absolutely. No argument there.
So my question then is, what is missing from the parental unfitness analysis why we would say that that was not met here?
Well, at the trial, there was little evidence presented of the children's well-being or the prospects of the future if Ms. Abrams' parental rights would be terminated. In fact, the most of the testimony pertained only to events occurring prior to March 2018, nearly 10 months before the termination hearing in question. Furthermore, Ms. Foster testified to numerous events that occurred at the start of the case or before the filing of even the filing of the petition, and not only was this information of little relevance, it fails to provide any information as to how the girls would be affected if the parental rights were terminated. In fact, much of the evidence shows that Ms. Abrams was making progress in fits and spurts, yes, but there was no testimony that Ms. Abrams was a lost cause of any kind. In fact, Ms. Delamuth testified that Ms. Abrams undertook in therapy and was working well towards the court's goals and had done many of the activities that the court had asked her to do.
So was the judge saying that there was a failure of proof as to subsection 5?
I believe the judge was saying, yes, so there was a failure proof as to subsection 5, and that even though subsection 7 was met, it did not pair with the best interest standard, which has to be paired with sub 1 through 11. You can't get there if you have 1 through 11 without best interest.
Do you think that when the trial judge was looking at 7, the trial judge was thinking of unfitness?
I believe so, Judge. Because frequently, the language that these trial judges use, unfitness and best interest, they use interchangeably in this situation.
But maybe we should ask them to focus better. Is there a distinction between unfitness and best interest?
Well, I think unfitness is much more closely, with how we would think of it, paired to sub 5. Meaning, when they file sub 5, they're saying that she was mentally unfit to do this. Whereas with sub 7, they would have to show that, you know, progress is being made. They would have to show all the different factors that we include with best interest, including whether it's best for the girls.
But you can't prove the case under 7 by just looking at the calendar and saying, well, 15 months, game over, right?
Agreed, Judge. Okay. In fact, the court has been very clear that if we're dealing with just sub 7 alone, the court cannot use that as a steamroller to roll over the rights just by looking at the calendar alone. We have to take this apart and look at it piece by piece. I would also note that the state, in their appeal here, did not include any of the materials for you, the court's adjudication order, any of the dispositional orders, any of the review orders, so this body won't even be able to look at it and look at those and see what progress Ms. Abrams was or was not making. So that, to me, is fundamentally unfair to Ms. Abrams' chance before this body.
Did you have the opportunity to supplement the record? Are you making a motion?
I'm not making a motion, Judge. And with that, I would save the remainder of my time for rebuttal if there were no additional questions.
I don't think you'd get rebuttal.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have time for rebuttal for Mr. Hanna?
Yes, Your Honor. 1 minute, 51 seconds.
1 minute and 51 seconds. Mr. Hanna.
Thank you, Your Honor. In In Re Interest R&D, the court stated that termination solely based on subsection 7 of Nebraska Revised Statute 43-292, coupled with best interest, can terminate the parental rights of a parent. I think what we need to draw our attention to is subsection 7 was shown. That's not contested here today. What we have to show now or discuss is the best interest of the minor child. And
Do you think that's what the trial judge was telling you, that you had a failure of proof as to best interests of the child?
No, I do not, Your Honor. My interpretation of what the trial judge had issue with was subsection 5, specifically the second prong of subsection 5 of are there reasonable grounds to believe that such condition will continue for a prolonged indeterminate period. I believe that's where the trial court had an issue in this case. And I disagree with the trial court. The trial court wanted an expert witness, a psychiatrist, to come in and testify that due to the mother's mental illness, that the condition will be prolonged for an indeterminate period of time. I personally disagree. I think the statute clearly states reasonable grounds to believe. That in itself demonstrates or shows to the court that an expert testimony is not needed. If a psychiatrist went up on the stand and testified in their professional expertise or psychological certainty in their expertise, that would go beyond what the statute's calling for. The phrase here is reasonable grounds to believe. In this case, reasonable grounds to believe that the condition would be indeterminate is present. The mother was not taking her medications. The mother was discharged from therapy for not showing up. The mother basically stopped communication with the family pregnancy specialist. The mother even stopped communicating with her children for the past 7 months prior to the termination. Not only that, but the mother hasn't even reached unsupervised visits. I believe I've run out of time. May I finish one last thought, Your Honor?
You may.
The mother never even took advantage of the therapeutic telephonic phone calls. All that together shows that we don't know when the mother's going to get better. If the mother doesn't want to get better, that's up to her. The state and the court can't force her to do anything. The point is, I believe that there is reasonable grounds to believe that if the mother is sick, needs treatment, and not getting that treatment, no one can know when she's going to get better, which satisfies the second prong of subsection 5. And with that, I'd ask this court to reverse and remand this matter to the juvenile court. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That takes us to the next case of the day, then, which is State v. Roberts.